This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلوات الله وسلامه على نبيه الكريم عليه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. My brothers and my sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I hope that everyone is doing well, and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from every single one of us throughout this month of Ramadan. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless you with the best of this life and the best of the hereafter. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect every single one of you and your family members, and myself and my family members, from COVID-19 or any sort of sickness or illness that is difficult and hard to bear. Today is Saturday, April 24th, 2021, and it is the 12th day of Ramadan. Subhanallah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us throughout the rest of the month of Ramadan and to accept from us from what has already passed. We are on Surah Hud in the 12th juz of the Quran, Surah Hud, and there's a number of different prophets that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us about throughout this surah. So we'll touch upon, a little bit of each of their lives here and there. We also will transition into Surah Yusuf, insha'Allah ta'ala, another one of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a beautiful story that we sadly do not have time to spend with the entire surah. Regardless though, we'll start with verse number 29 of Surah Hud. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وَيَا قَوْمِ لَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ مَالًا إِنْ أَجْرِيَ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ وَمَا أَنَا بِطَارِدِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إنهم ملاقو ربهم ولكني أراكم قوما تجهلون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yes, there are geese in the background, alhamdulillah. And there's a printer that keeps turning on and off as well. That's irritating me. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here in verse number 29 of Surah Hud mentions how he says to his people, يَا قَوْمِ لَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ مَالًا. O my people, I do not... I do not ask you for payment for this message, right? Every single one of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not ask their people for any sort of payment for the message that they conveyed. So he says, O my people, I do not ask you for a payment for this message. My reward is only from Allah. And I will never dismiss the believers, for they will surely meet their Lord. But I can see that you are a people acting ignorantly. So here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us in Surah Hud, this is Nuh alayhi salam, the story of Nuh alayhi salam. وَيَا قَوْمِ لَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا لَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ مَالًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expresses how the prophets, and you'll see this trend when you read through the Quran, right? The prophets usually tell their people, I'm not asking you for any wealth. I'm not asking you for any payment. I'm not asking you for anything in return. Now, this is a very interesting aspect of our deen, because the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they did not want anything in return for the people who would embrace Islam or for conveying the message or anything of that sort. And a lot of them had their own professions. So for example, we see that some of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were carpenters, some were shepherds, right? And the lesson that we learn from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being a business person, but also one that was well-versed as a shepherd, is that you are able to look after your animals, you're able to understand their feelings, you understand the responsibility of looking after them and feeding them and making sure that they have all that they need. And so this is an indication of how there are certain professions, right? Certain professions that we have within our lives that will be helpful to us in order to understand human beings or to understand this world and the life that we live in. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose prophets to have certain professions and to do certain things. And the wealth that they gained was not wealth that they earned from spreading the message. And I know nowadays in 2021, we look at, you know, imams or Islamic scholars, and we say, how come they receive a salary for doing the job that they do, when the prophets and the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always would say that they are not asking for anything in return? Islamically, we are not allowed to ask for something in return as well. For example, what I mean by this, and I'll be very specific, if you are to teach someone the Qur'an, and we learned this in our fiqh class, right, our essential fiqh class, if you're teaching someone Qur'an, you are not allowed to receive... Shaitan's working on me, making me yawn a lot. You're not allowed to receive a payment for the amounts of the Qur'an that you teach to others. For example, if you say, I'm going to teach you 5 ayat of the Qur'an every single day, and for 5 verses, you will pay me $5. And if I teach you only 4 verses, then you will pay me $4. And if I teach you 10 verses, you will pay me $10. So you're not allowed to put a price on the actual Qur'an that is being taught or shared with someone else. But what you are allowed to do, from an Islamic perspective, what we are allowed to do is to charge for your time, to charge for your energy, to charge for your skill set, right? So there are other things that we can charge for. But when someone says, I will come and I will do a lecture of X amount of minutes and I will convey this and that, and you put too much of a structure to it, this is where you start to get into a gray area. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all and make it easy for us to continue to learn and to teach this deen. And so I wanted to just touch upon this because the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they themselves would receive wealth. For example, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would receive wealth to look after himself and his family. And the khulafa, right? The khalifa of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and the Amir al-Mu'mineen, right? The leaders that came after Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, and Ali radiallahu anhum, they themselves would feel bad to receive something as the person who's put in a position of authority and leadership. They would feel bad to receive something for looking after the affairs of the ummah. However, Islamically, they were permitted to do so and permitted to take from it. So there are certain times that we can receive. What we're not allowed to do is to say, if you take this message, then you have to pay me a certain amount. Right? That's where it's not permissible. And this is what the prophets were saying, is that I am not conveying this message to you because you're paying me. I'm not conveying this message to you because there's some sort of monetary benefit for me. I'm giving you this message because it's my responsibility, and it is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I do so. Let's move on, inshallah, because there's a lot that we're going to take. Then in verse number 38, ويصنع الفلك وكلما مر عليه ملأ من قومه وكلما مر عليه ملأ من قومه سخروا منه. So he began to build the ark, right? Prophet Nuh alayhi salam began to build the ark, and whenever some of the chiefs of the people passed by, they mocked him. They used to make fun of Nuh alayhi salam. He said, if you laugh at us, we will soon laugh at you in the same or similar manner. Okay? So Nuh alayhi salam, when he's building this ark, one of the reasons why they used to mock him is because Nuh alayhi salam was not a najjar. He was not someone who knew carpentry. Yet now he's cutting down trees, right? He's chiseling the wood, right? Shaving it away, making it the right size that he needs in order to build the ark. And they're coming and saying, what are you doing? This is not even your profession. This is not even what you do. You don't even know how to do this. What are you thinking? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent angels to help Nuh alayhi salam. And he says to them in response that if you laugh at us now and what we're doing over here building this ark, then soon you'll see that we will be laughing at you as well. And he says, you will soon come to know who will be visited by a humiliating torment in this life and overwhelmed by an everlasting punishment in the next. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the command to Prophet Nuh alayhi salam to build an ark, this massive ship, right? A massive ship. And you'll see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him the command to take a pair from every one of the creation, every animal, a male and a female. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Allahu Akbar. All right, shaitan is trying to get me to stop. It's the last hour of the day and I need some food in me. But alhamdulillah, we'll keep going, keep pushing, right? Don't let it get to you. So then, حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَ أَمْرُنَا وَفَارَ التَّنُّورِ قُلْ نَحْمِلْ فِيهَا مِنْ كُلِّ زَوْجَيْنِ اثْنَيْنِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and when our command came and the oven burst, as in water started to flow from ground, right? And the skies filled with clouds and the rain started to come down, right? Nuh alayhi salam is commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, take into the ark a pair of every species along with your family, except those who the decree to drown has already been passed. It's already been written for certain people of your family to drown and not to be in the ark with you. And those who believe, right, are to be within the ark with him. But none believed with him except for a few. How many years did Nuh alayhi salam call his people and invite them? Who remembers the answer to this? I know I gave you homework yesterday, and this shouldn't be homework. This should be a simple question to a simple answer that you all know of very well. The homework yesterday, for those who forgot, أَلَا إِنَّ أَوْلِيَاءَ اللَّهِ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. You had to memorize that, right? Hopefully you did it. Good. Zinao. 950 years. Alhamdulillah. 950 years. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says 1,000 years less 50. So 950 years. Lubna, very close, but off by 40 years. Okay? But when you're talking 1,000, 40 is just a small number. Right? Over 90 years. Mahtabai, come on, man. 950 years. You guys know this. I taught you this. I taught you the prophets of Allah. You guys know these answers. Right? 950 years, Nuh alayhi salam. And how many people believed? When you look at different narrations and different traditions that are mentioned, not more than 80 people were from amongst the followers of Nuh alayhi salam. Not more than 80 people. Allahu Akbar. Now when you think of that and you compare to us, living in 2020, you have some celebrity scholars, right? And this was a thing when I was like a teenager. You would hear a lot about, scholars who are giving da'wah, street da'wah, public da'wah, masses, da'wah to the masses. And the number of people that embraced Islam, they used to keep track of and used to talk about, right? They used to talk about, people used to say it. To be fair here, it was the people who would follow those scholars that would say, oh, Sheikh so-and-so, Sheikha so-and-so, this person, this brother, this sister. They give da'wah to people. They have 900 people, 1,000 people, 4,000 people, 10,000 people, 20,000 people who embraced Islam at their hands. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Look at Nuh alayhi salam. 950 years of calling his people to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not more than 80 people were from amongst those who followed. That's less than one person per 10 years, right? It's less than one person for every 10 years. May Allah make it easy for us to understand the benefits of doing small deeds. Sometimes it is the little things that count, the little things that have a very heavy weight on the scale, where we don't need to do much in order for it to be heavy on the scale in terms of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recognizes those deeds. Earlier today, I was, some of the brothers reached out to me online and they were asking me some questions, and I was telling them, it's the little deeds or a little kind action that a person may have done in their life. So some of the brothers were asking me, you know, one brother in particular, he says, you know, nowadays a lot of people are passing away, and we hear a lot of, you know, sad news of people, especially if, you know, you have family and friends in India, or you were born and raised there. You know, you might have a lot of family and friends or relatives or people that you know that are becoming ill with COVID-19. Numbers are very high in India. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have mercy upon the people of India and to make it easy for them to get through this challenging time. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide the hearts towards Islam and towards goodness. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect and save all of our brothers and sisters who are going through hardship and difficulty. Ameen. So one of the brothers in particular, he says, you know, a lot of people, he's hearing news of people every single day sick with COVID, passing away. He's like, how do you stay positive? How do you stay motivated? You know, how do you not let it get to you? You know, it's too much. And it's true. You know, earlier today, there was something funny I wanted that I received and I wanted to share. And I was like, okay, this group of brothers, they would get this joke. And I thought, no, someone shared something of, you know, a relative of theirs that just passed away. So I'll avoid sharing anything that's funny. And then another group, which was like all graduates of Medina who were friends of mine while I was a student there. And I thought, no, I'm not going to share this there, because another one of our friends, Sheikh Mishkat Abul Barakat in London, England, you know, two very close people to his family passed away, one in another country and one in the UK. And I was like, subhanAllah, it's like every single group has a mention of someone who passed away. So I was like, forget the jokes. Forget it. Just put it aside, subhanAllah. Because it's just not respectful to mention something like that when, you know, people are grieving and going through a hard time. It's better to make dua. It's better to motivate with something good. Why was I even talking about this? I don't even know why I went into this. Who can remind me why I went into this? Subhanallah. This is what happens, right? La as'alukum alayhi ajra. Yes, so I was telling the brothers, look, what you need to do is, sometimes when someone passes away, there's a number of things that I recognize for myself that I tell myself, and maybe I'll share it with you guys someday. But one of the things that I told them was, do sadaqah, give sadaqah. But you'll notice as well, when you hear something about the person who passed away, family members, relatives, friends, colleagues, right? They will mention something about this person, something that person was known for, something they were, you know, particular about, and people recognized that within them. That small deed, it may have been one time only that person did it, but so many people recognized and cherish and appreciate and love and respect that person for that one thing that they did. So don't belittle a small deed, a kind act, something that we consider to be maybe insignificant. We should all be striving hard to try and find a way to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in little things, little deeds. And here's another example. I was praying Dhuhr today in the masjid, and there's a brother, and I probably shouldn't have mentioned today, but khair, just because it narrows it down. It narrows down the list of who this brother could be. But there's a brother in our community. Okay, I'll just say it this way. There's a brother in our community who I noticed he always will try to be. You know how certain people have certain actions, like the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of the man, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, who, you know, recognize, what is it that this man is so good for? This companion, what does he do? Radiallahu an. And the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they investigated and they saw that at night he is awake before going to bed. He makes dua to Allah, and he asks Allah to forgive him of any sins, and he clears his heart. He says he clears his heart of any grievances that he may have against someone else. Small kind action that makes that person from the people of paradise. So there's a brother in our community who I've noticed, whenever we go to the masjid, whenever we are praying in congregation, this brother always needs to be the last one to leave. Not because of any other reason, not because of some other benefit, but especially at the end of the day, especially at the end of the day, after Isha, he will make it such that everyone will leave before him and he will still be in the masjid finishing up praying, and then he will leave. So it's written down as the last person to leave from the masjid is that brother. Now, I try to compete with him because I recognize this within this brother. So sometimes if I go to the masjid at Dhuhr and he's there, I'll try to pray some extra sunnah afterwards and see if I can be the last one to leave instead of him. Or at Isha sometimes, I know that I'm in my office and he waits around because I'm in my office and I'm doing work, especially in the summer months. Even though Isha is very late, I still go back to my office and still finish up work and do what I need to do. So he will like take his time, right? Take his time. He'll come by, ask me, is there anything that I need, right? He'll go back into the masjid. He'll pray a little more, make some dua. He just wants to be written down. I could tell. He never told me this, but I can tell. He wants to be written down as the last to leave the masjid every single day. You know, little deeds like that. Community members, I'm pretty sure that none, I can't guarantee this, but I'm pretty sure that none of our other community members have recognized this about that brother. But because I'm usually there last, and I'm usually in my office pretty late, I've noticed this about him. And sometimes he tries to wait and wait and wait. And at times, there were times where I'm in my office online after Isha because I have a class or a lecture to do. And I will live stream after Isha. He will leave and then he will come back. He'll go home and he'll come back. And I'll see him and I'll go and I'll be like, Assalamu alaikum, is everything okay? He says, yeah, just want to pray two rak'ah. And he'll go and he'll pray two rak'ah waiting for me to leave. And then he'll leave either at the same time as me or just like a minute after me. And sometimes I'll sit in my car outside and I will, you know, answer questions and emails in my car on my phone. And he's inside. And then he'll come out and he'll say, oh, you're still here. I'm like, yeah, I'm still here. And he knows that I'm observing him, but we never talk about it. It's just a beautiful thing about this brother. He's an elderly brother. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve him. I mean, you know, it's just something really beautiful. How people strive for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now's a time when a lot of people are down because of what's happening, right? Around the world, a lot of new cases popping up of COVID, not only internationally, but here within Canada, within our province of Ontario. I know in Perth, Australia, subhanAllah, just the other day, maybe someone, you know, I hate to say it, evil eye, ayn, but subhanAllah, you know, in Australia and New Zealand, people have been enjoying themselves in masajid, gathering, praying. There's zero cases of COVID-19. Just yesterday, they shut down Perth, Australia, for 3 days because there were 2 reported cases of COVID-19. So they shut down for 3 days, complete shutdown, isolate everything, contain it, and then they will reopen, inshallah ta'ala. It's difficult, but what we need to do is find a good deed and stick to it. Find a good deed and stick to it, because people will recognize that within us. And they will make dua and strive hard to try and please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the good deeds that we did, that we find in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's not anything new, we find it in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All right, let's move on. Then in verse number 42, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and so the ark sailed with them through waves like mountains. Nuh called out to his son, who stood apart, oh, my dear son, come aboard with us and do not be with the disbelievers. Nuh alayhi salam's son is there and he calls out to him, tells his son, come on board this ship, come on board the ark that we've built. And his son, look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, none will board that ship who has already been decreed to drown within that water. So his son responds and says, قَالَ سَآوِي إِلَى جَبَلِي يَعْصِمُنِي مِنَ الْمَاءِ. He says to his father, don't worry, I'll take refuge on that mountain, which will protect me from the water. I'll swim over to that mountain. I'll be fine. Don't worry. Right? I'll make my way up onto the mountain and I'll be safe and protected. Nuh alayhi salam cried, today no one is protected from Allah's decree except those who He shows mercy to. And the waves came between them, and his son was among those who drowned. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And it was said, O earth, swallow up your water. And O sky, withhold your rain. And so the flood water receded, and the decree was carried out, and the ark rested upon Mount Judi. And it was said, away with the wrongdoing people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed those who disbelieved. So Nuh alayhi salam calls out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says, my Lord, Rabbi, inna ibni min ahli, wa inna wa'adaka al-haq, wa anta ahkamul hakimin. He says, my Lord, certainly, my son is also of my family. Your promise is surely true, and you are the most just of all judges. He's calling out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, feeling sad that his son passed away. Allah responds to Nuh alayhi salam and says, innahu laysa min ahlik. O Nuh, he is certainly not from your family. He was entirely of unrighteous conduct. He was from those who disobeyed and disbelieved in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows Nuh alayhi salam, even your own son, who you want to have boarded upon that ship, who you want to have been saved, who you are asking me about now, who drowned in the waters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya Nuh, innahu laysa min ahlik. O Nuh, he is not from your family. Now what that means is, yes, he's your son. But your family is the family of the believers. And this is where, my brothers and sisters, I remind us of something I always remind myself about. Because I have family members who are not Muslim. I have relatives who are not Muslim. And they are family. Blood is thicker than water. We know that blood is thicker than water, right? We know that for a fact. Blood is thicker than water, right? As in, family members, relatives are closer to us than friends, than colleagues, neighbors, people who are around us, right? Family members are much closer to us than anyone else. Blood is thicker than water. But there is something that is thicker than blood. And that is the Shahada. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Family members are closer than friends, but believers can be closer than family members. Believers can be closer than family members. And I say this knowing fully well that people may feel that that isn't true. The reality is, if you interact with people who are about to pass away, or you interact with families who have a loved one who passed away, we say loved ones, they argue over the pettiest of things, the smallest of things. Land, my father, my brother passed away and left land for me, but my sister wants to take it away. Why are you arguing? You have a nice house. You have a nice home. You have children that are old enough who work. Your sister has no one. She's a widow. Why are you arguing and taking it? But it's mine. It's mine. It's mine. Greed. Stinginess. being arrogant, family, blood relatives, and this happens a lot in certain cultures. I won't mention any. Those of you who are from those cultures, you know very well who you are. It happens too often where family members argue over the smallest of things. They left a watch for me. A friend of mine, subhanAllah, I remember his mom passed away, and there was an argument over a ring. Over a ring. And the ring didn't belong to anyone else except his mom. She was the one who purchased that ring. But because the ring had such a high value, people were arguing. Family members, relatives, friends, all were claiming, she told me I could have this ring. She told me I could have this ring when she passed away. SubhanAllah. We are arguing over a ring. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us that the believers understand that the things of this dunya are things of this dunya. And yes, I know people will say, but Dawood, these are believers arguing about people who passed, you know, family members who passed away. Ah, but the difference is the level of iman is low. The level of iman is low. Because if the level of iman was high, there would not be such a love and desire for this dunya. There would not be such a love and desire to be on this land and have this land and have this house and have this property. Because it's like, khalas, we're not going to be here forever anyways. And there's also respect. Islam teaches us to respect our family members and do not cut family ties. But what happens is, when someone passes away, people end up dividing themselves as relatives and family members because they can't agree on certain things that need to be divided amongst them, but they don't want to, so they divide themselves in order to be attached to the things. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. That's probably a bigger musibah than the loss of the loved one. It's probably a bigger musibah, a bigger problem than the loss of the loved one, because the person who passed away, the sibling or the parent who passed away, there was love when that person was there. And when they left, people are not sad because of the loss of their loved one. They are angry and arrogant and, you know, treating people with disrespect and rude because of the things of this dunya that they are not getting. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from all of that greed and stinginess. So Nuh alayhi salam is told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's not from your family. He's not from your family. Even though he knows very well that it's his son, but he's not from your family. As in, there's family members who are believers that are closer to you, those who disbelieve. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us all. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights in verse number 50, وَإِلَىٰ عَادٍ أَخَاهُمْ هُودًا قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مَا لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَٰهٍ غَيْرُهُ إِنْ أَنْتُمْ إِلَّا مُفْتَرُونَ. And the people of Ad, we sent to their brother Hud. And he said, O my people, worship Allah. You have no God other than Him. You do nothing but fabricate lies against Allah. So Hud alayhi salam, you know, mentions this and he says, O my people, I do not ask you for any reward for this message. Right? Once again, Ya qawmi la as'alukum alayhi ajra. In ajriya illa ala alladhina fatarani afala ta'qilun. So he tells his people, I'm not asking you for anything in return. Right? What if family members attack you and your family and threaten you? Should you maintain ties? You keep your door open, you don't cut them off, right? You keep your door open, but you put that firm stance there from attacks. Stop attacks. Don't let people attack you, right? But make sure that if they are in need, what I mean by keeping your door open is when they are in need of something, if family is ever in need of something, they can always come to you for help. But you will not tolerate threats. You will not tolerate attacks. You will not tolerate lies. You will not tolerate deceit. But if they are ever in a position of need, then you will be there to help them and assist them. So you are not cutting off family ties, but you're putting a hard stance to things that are evil and no good, right? So Hud alayhi salam says to his people as well, my reward is only from the one who created me. Will you not then understand? I'm not doing this for any sort of pay, any recompense from you or anyone else. We skip to verse number 61. وَإِلَى ثَمُودَ أَخَاهُمْ صَالِحًا قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مَا لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَٰهٍ غَيْرُهُ. And to the people of Thamud, we sent their brother Salih. To the people of Thamud, we sent their brother Salih. And he said, O my people, worship Allah. You have no God other than Him. He is the one who produced you from the earth and settled you on it. So seek His forgiveness and turn to Him in repentance. Surely my Lord is ever near, all responsive to prayers. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Same sort of message from who? From Nuh alayhi salam, from Hud alayhi salam, from Salih alayhi salam. We then skip to, let me just make sure I'm not missing out on anything here. Verse number 81. Lut alayhi salam. Right? We see a little bit of the lesson of the story of Lut alayhi salam, Prophet Lut. The angel said, O Lut, we are the messengers of your Lord. They will never reach you. So travel with your family in the dark of night and do not let any of you look back except your wife. She will certainly suffer the fate of the others. Their appointed time is the morning. Is the morning not near? So Lut alayhi salam was told by the angels who came and they visited Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam had a ram sacrificed for them and he presented them this food. They did not eat. Ibrahim alayhi salam knew something was wrong. He questioned them and he said, why is it that you don't eat? You're my guests. If you're not eating, either something is wrong or you came here with an intention to harm me. You came here to do some sort of wrong. And they said, be calm, be at ease. We've been sent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are angels. With regards to your nephew, Lut alayhi salam, we are going to him to see him. His people are from those who will be destroyed. Ibrahim alayhi salam's wife, she chuckles because she knows that Lut alayhi salam has been warning his people and they continued in their ways. And he's been telling them that they will be punished if they don't change their ways and stop the sins that they're committing, murder and cheating and stealing and so on and so forth. We know the story of Lut alayhi salam. So Ibrahim alayhi salam says, but wait a second. Lut is with them. He's a righteous person. You need to protect him, save him, right? And they said, don't worry, the amr, the order, the command is with us. We know what to do. And so they go to see Lut alayhi salam. When they get closer to Lut alayhi salam's village, he hears of these travelers that are coming. He goes and he receives them and he secretly brings them to his house because he was stopped. He was being oppressed, technically. He was no longer allowed to entertain guests within his home because he was bringing them in his home and telling them, leave quickly, don't stay here. These people are people that will abuse you. And they will take advantage of you. And so get out of this town. Don't stay here. Lut alayhi salam brought them to his home. And the people found out. And they came and they surrounded his home. And they chased him. They tried to get him to leave. And they were like, this is it. You've gone too far. So they reassure Lut alayhi salam, don't worry. They won't touch you. They won't do anything to you. But you have to pack up and leave. And you have until the morning. You have until the morning. Now, the reason why I wanted to highlight this verse, verse number 81 of Surah Hud, is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us here that He's given a message to leave by morning. And look at the submission of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's told, leave your people, leave your town, leave your home, leave your family, leave everyone who doesn't believe, just go. And don't look back, not even for your wife, because she is from amongst those that indulges in the actions of the people that live in your town. And so, the only... Who, I'll ask you, who leaves with Lut alayhi salam? Who leaves with Lut alayhi salam? Someone should know the answer to this. If not, it'll be your homework, inshaAllah ta'ala. I know some of you know it because I've taught this to you in many different countries, and I see people in multiple countries that are on the live stream who I know for a fact have attended my classes, right? So you should know this and you should share the answer. Very good. Very good. His daughters, alhamdulillah, right? His daughters, good. So his daughters leave with him, his wife doesn't leave. Nuh alayhi salam is given the night to pack up and go. Look at the submission of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They don't focus on this dunya. They don't focus on this world. They focus on conveying the message that needs to be spread to the people of this world. And they don't indulge riches of this world. Those that did have the ability to indulge in it, like Prophet Dawood alayhi salam, Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam, they were extremely, extremely wealthy. But they were still very humble. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Dawood alayhi salam, "Inna ja'alnaka khalifatan fil ard." He didn't take any wealth from his people. In fact, he used to work his own job, his own profession, to gain his own wealth and use that for himself, his family, and the people around him. And so the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they, in the blink of an eye, snap of a finger, they left everything for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why you see examples trickling down to the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he would request from his sahaba, his companions, we need some wealth, we need some financial assistance, who is going to help us? Some of the sahaba would bring half of their wealth, some of the sahaba would bring one quarter of their wealth, some would bring one third of their wealth. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu brought all of his wealth that he had in his possession that day. And I say it this way because Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu did not abandon his family as well. He brought all of his wealth and presented it to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Here, this is everything I have. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was asked by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what did you leave for your family? He says, I left Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger. Now I know there are certain people nowadays in 2021 who will say, alhamdulillah, we're going for 40 days, we're going for 4 months, and we're leaving with our family, Allah and his messenger. But look at the difference. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu did not go and leave and say, I'm leaving Allah and his messenger, or I'm leaving Allah to look after my family, and that's it. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came and presented all the wealth he had for his day, but he had businesses. He had a steady income. So tomorrow there would be wealth that was coming to his family, and the day after there would be wealth that was coming to his family, and the day after there would be wealth that is coming to his family. So he did not abandon his family. He did not leave his family with nothing. He did not say, Allah will find a way to give you something. In fact, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us to tie our camel and then have tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So take your means, fulfill your responsibility, especially as a husband. For those of you who are husbands and fathers, this is a message for you. Don't just abandon your family and say, Allah will find a way to provide for my wife and children. Yes, Allah will. But it is your responsibility to do that. And if you fail, Allah won't fail your family. But you failed yourself. You see the difference there. You know, sometimes we misunderstand, or people misquote, mistranslate, fail to understand context of what is being said and done. Abu Bakr radiallahu anh was a wealthy man who had businesses across Arabia, and money was constantly coming in. Things were being sold. He was a merchant. He loved cloth and material. And he was not one to leave his family with nothing. So my brothers and sisters, Lut alayhi salam picked up and left. And he knew that from amongst those who disbelieve, the punishment of Allah would be there. In the next verse, verse number 82. And I know we're short on time. When our command came, we turned the cities upside down and rained down on them clustered stones of baked clay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed the entire nation, as in all the people that were there. But Lut alayhi salam and his daughters were safe. And from amongst those who were destroyed was the wife of Lut alayhi salam. وَإِلَى مَدْيَنَ أَخَاهُمْ شُعَيْبًا قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مَا لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَهٍ غَيْرُهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says in verse number 84, and to the people of Madian, we sent their brother Shu'aib. And he said, O my people, worship Allah. You have no God other than Him. And do not give short measure and wait. Don't cheat people. I do see you in prosperity now, but I truly fear for you the torment of an overwhelming day. O my people, verse number 89, do not let your opposition to me lead you to fate similar to that of the people of Nuh or Hud or Salih, and the people of Lut are not far from you. This is the last verse that we'll take, verse number 89. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us how Shu'aib is telling his people, hey, listen, don't be like the nations of the past. Don't be like Nuh. Don't be like the people of Hud. Not like Nuh, but don't be like those who disobeyed Nuh. Don't be like those who rejected the message of Hud. Don't be like those who rejected the message of Salih. And you're not very far off from what the people of Lut alayhi salam were doing. And hey, they were just a stone throw away. And they were not too long ago before us. And so please be careful. Don't disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know very well what happened to them. You know very well what happened to them. So my brothers and sisters, due to the lack of time, we will end here. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us to continue to learn from the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, Al-Quran. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from every single one of us and to forgive us of any wrongdoings and any sins or mistakes that we've made. Anything that I've said or done that is wrong is from myself and shaitan. And anything that is right is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make the classes that we attend every single day heavy on our scale and beneficial to us in this life as well as in the hereafter. Ameen. Jazakumullahu khayran wa barakallahu fikum. Please use the next few minutes to make dua on your own with your family and enjoy your iftar. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakumullahu khayran.